Chapter 11. Spring Creek, far below me, flashed silver in the moonlight. The flat boulder I perched on had been my seat many times in the past. I walked out here tonight through Mom's back pasture, hoping the creek and the stillness of the autumn night would work its quieting magic once more. I could think of little else but the mystery of the missing Andrea. During the years since Andrea's disappearance, other things crowded her memory from my thoughts, but since the arrival of Sophie's letter, the mystery and possibilities swirling around her disappearance occupied my mind. Sophie's letter started the whole thing, at least as far as Mom and I were concerned. The visit to Dilly's Cafe, interviews with Grant and Steve Hopper, the trip to Amarillo and meeting Sophie face to face, Sergeant Romero, Tom Mott, Charlene, all these were like characters in a play. Each one appeared on stage, acted his part, and moved the story along. But in what direction? If answers existed, they were elusive. All I found were more and more questions. Andrea had simply disappeared. It seemed that she was not well loved by everyone. Was she fearful for her life? Had she decided that running away was her only possible choice in order to be safe? And the most unanswerable question of all, why had I agreed to help Sophie? What had I gotten my mother and myself into? And why on earth couldn't I learn to leave well enough alone? The tranquility of the night with its elusive scent of water, earth, and small autumn wildflowers began to calm my scattered thoughts. The creek murmured. Sleepy insects whirred or clicked nighttime melodies, and a whole family of frogs croaked. These were the familiar sounds of nature before the onset of winter. The silvery, moonlight-bathed woods were a balm to the craziness of human tragedies. Spirit Leap is what the Cherokee people called the sheer granite cliff upon which I sat. A geology professor from the University of Oklahoma once told me that the jumble of jagged rocks along the creek had been spewed from far beneath the Earth's surface at some time in the dim geological past. Much more romantic was the old legend that a spurned lover leaped to his death from here many years ago and the earth erupted in protest. Spring Creek hurried southward, hugging the rocky hillside before disappearing among the trees. Somewhere among those trees, two whippoorwills called, no doubt discussing the departure date for their annual trip to warmer climes. An owl hooted softly, and a chorus of crickets announced that autumn was on the way out. Strange disappearances, love, hate, and envy had no part of this quiet autumn night. An alien noise intruded on the soothing sounds of nature. My scalp prickling, I was at once aware of how alone and remote was my moonlit perch. The sound of dry leaves crunching underfoot jarred me out of my reverie. I patted the pocket of my jeans and felt the comforting bulge of my cell phone. My boulder chair was at least 3 feet off the ground, and I perched on it like a bird, or maybe a sitting duck. Trees and creeks stood out in stark relief under that relentless moon. Without a doubt, I was clearly visible to anyone watching from the cover of those shadowy trees. Noiselessly, I slipped off the rock and crouched down behind it. I tried to calm my breathing. Surely anyone could hear the hammering of my heart. An unseen walker moved among those dusky trees behind me. Was it a deer? Possibly a bear? I remembered tales of panthers which were said to live in the area. Or was the source of the sound a person? Grant had warned me that there could be someone in Levi who didn't want me to stir things up concerning Andrea Worth. The night seemed to hold its breath, Not a breeze stirred, but somehow a chill feeling of evil settled over Spirit Leap. What should I do? Should I hide here and wait for whoever or whatever else was out in the night to move on? Should I flip open my cell phone and call 911? Or should I make a run for the house? Another noise. This time an unmistakable footfall, and it was closer than the first. I was afraid to raise my head above the rock and look into the woods, afraid of what I might see. My paralysis suddenly released me, and my instinct for self-preservation took over. I sprang up and ran toward my mother's house and safety. Spirit Leap was about a quarter of a mile from Mom's backyard, through an old grassy pasture that was bordered on two sides by thick trees. I dared not look behind me. My legs burned, and I felt as if my heart would burst through my ribs. But I raced, like wildfire, through the knee-high grass. Something panted behind me, coming closer and closer. Or was it my own breathing? I didn't know. Dashing through the backyard gate, I hit the back porch and hurtled through the kitchen door. I locked it and leaned against it, gasping. My mother sat at the table, plans for Ben's boys' school spread out around her. She jumped up and grasped my arm. "Darcy, what in the world?" "Somebody, I think, was after me," I choked. "Somebody? Oh, Darcy, I told you I didn't think going out to Spirit Leap was wise. It is so spooky out there. I'm going to call Grant." I stumbled toward the living room. "Dad's gun. I'm going to get his gun." I yanked open the drawer on the bookshelf and pulled out the black pistol. It felt cold and heavy, but reassuring. Mom's voice came from the dining room as she talked to someone on the phone, presumably Grant. Then she hurried to the front room where I leaned against the bookcase, shaking. She led me to the sofa. I collapsed on its soft cushions. "Now tell me what happened," she ordered. Gasping, I put up a warning hand. "Shh, listen. Did you hear something?" "No, just Jethro crunching his food. Grant will soon be here, Darcy. You are safe now."